In most of the ancient religions, sacrifice was offered to the gods to appease them or to beg them to be on our side, to give us what we want, and particularly reparation for sin, forgiveness that was initiated by our sacrifice, and supposedly it would change the minds of the gods. Israel never looked at it that way. For Israel, the initiative was always God's. Reparation for sin, redemption, forgiveness, that was an act of God that God initiated. And when you think about it, this is the way we've always understood our relationship with God. God calls, we respond. God initiates, finds us, and we respond. You know, people joining the church, make the excusable mistake of thinking that they're finding God, or that they've decided that they're going to go on this search. And so they go through the OCIA process, but the rite of election reminds them and us that really it's God's electing. In the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, it wasn't you who chose me, it was I who chose you. And in the second reading, St. Paul says, it's not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and has sent his Son as expiation for our sins. So what does this expiation mean? We sometimes use the word atonement, but atonement in modern understanding has to do with reparation for sin. It has to do with living out the sentence even though society may forgive you. You get a speeding ticket, and so the society forgives you, but you still have to pay the fine, okay? Sin has consequences. Let's just think of a radical example. Adolf Hitler. Suppose that he expressed his contrition before he died and is totally forgiven, and he's in heaven. But there are still 6 million people dead. And the repercussions of the survivors and their descendants and what's going on in Israel right now, these are all consequences of the Third Reich. So sin can be forgiven, but it doesn't necessarily take care of the consequences of sin. In the history of the human race, and we see this in the Old Testament chronicle of that, sin multiplies upon sin, generation upon generation. We inherit the sins of our parents. We often repeat what our parents did. Not just the sin, but the virtue as well. You know, we have models of faith, and the Old Testament is filled with such models, Abraham and Moses and Isaiah and, you know, any number of them, and all the countless ones that we don't know of. But we are affected one way or another by each other. Jesus does something remarkable at the cross. He takes on the consequences of human sin and carries it on his shoulders to the cross. In other words, he takes that burden of the guilt. He takes that burden of the consequences. And God, since the world began, has been keenly aware of the consequences of sin and has taken that on and carried the weight of it. And we see that exemplified in Jesus at the cross. So then Jesus tells his disciples, I want you to love one another just as I have loved you. Well, that's a pretty tall order. You know, can we take on the consequences of another person's sin against us? Well, we've already done it when you think about it. When a child says to a parent, I hate you, the parent takes on the consequences of that statement and forgives it so that it doesn't get passed on, so that 20 years later, that child is an adult and isn't living with the consequences of having said that one day back then. Okay? We have the power to do that. When Jesus tells his disciples, "Peace be with you, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven, and whose sins you retain, they are retained." And this is the awesome mystery here, isn't it? That we have the power to do either. We can hold bound, we can retain this consequence so that it continues to affect both of us, or we can release it. We can accept the burden of that other person's guilt on our own shoulders and redeem it. When Jesus says, "You're to love as I have loved you," he's inviting us into a divine way of loving. Because for all history, God has taken on the burden of the consequences of human sin. And Jesus says, I'm now giving you the power to do that too. I'm inviting you in up into divine life. I'm inviting you to do a whole new way of sacrifice. Not the way of sacrifice of old that was sort of bargaining with God. I will give up something I value. I will make this offering in exchange for your favor. And Jesus says, "You're grafted onto the vine of divine love. You are brothers and sisters of mine and daughters and sons of your heavenly Father. It's already been accomplished. You don't have to make any sacrifices. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to beg God for love. God has already loved you since before the world began. It's a done deal." Sacrifice, on the other hand, is the giving back. It's the acceptance of that great gift. It's recognizing it and saying thank you for it. Well, we all know the Greek word Eucharist means to give thanks. And that's what we do here every Sunday morning. We come to the full recognition of what has been done for us on the cross. And we start out with a penitential rite, recalling to mind our sins, recalling to mind that we are in an awful place except for grace. But because of grace, we're in a holy place. We're in a sacred position where we can join with the sacrifice of Christ that is remembered here. And we can lay our lives down. We can lay our lives on the altar along with Christ and offer that up for the reparation of the sins of the human race, of all the things that are going on now, that have gone on in the past, and even the things that are going to go on in the future. To be drawn up into that divine compassion, that the mystery of divine love that is self-sacrificing, that is self-offering, that is willing to lose itself in the project of human freedom. At the foot of the cross were Mary and John, the beloved disciple. And Jesus says to John, "Behold your mother." And he says to Mary, "Behold your son." Jesus is establishing a whole new family, a new way of being children of God, a new way of acting divinely that seems almost impossible, and yet with grace, nothing is impossible for God. We can live that divine life, not just sometime in the distant future in this glorified kingdom, but it's already available to us now. We just have to say yes, and we just have to say thank you.